Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, A Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass, and if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header menu, and you'll be good to go.
With that being said, let's trek further down the path of
a future of music. Do you think we can cue some sci-fi sounds or theremin or something like that?
Oh, fucking theremin. That dude invented other shit too, I think.
Dude, he invented, I was watching this crazy Netflix show about spycraft, I think it was called.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, he invented this listening device that was amazing. Yep. You have to shoot, had no,
yeah,
no batteries in it or anything. And you have to shoot a microwave at it in order. It's like genius. The guy's a fucking genius.
It was just so nuts how they said it. They were like, oh yeah, invented by some guy named blah, 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 theremin. I was like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Motherfucker. And the Russians were obsessed with using that shit too.
Yeah, it's a cool instrument.
That was like their main tool bag.
Yeah. But no, anyway.
That's right.
This is going to be a different kind of episode for us. And I don't know what to say besides just getting into it.
Well, I mean, inventors like theremin, like fucking Elon Musk, dude.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're going with this. So as some of you know, Elon Musk, he owns Tesla, right? Most people in the world know him at this point, right? Who Elon Musk is. He owns Tesla.
He smokes weed on Joe Rogan's show.
Exactly. He owns SpaceX, but he also owns this company called Neuralink. And if you haven't heard of it, Neuralink's developing this device that you implant in your skull, right? And it reads your brain activity. And at this point, he did a demo recently on pigs and had them all oinking around and smelling things. And you could detect what was going through their nose and all the different neurons firing. And most recently, he wired up monkeys to play video games with their minds. Okay, so, yeah, exactly.
Now, this sounds like a Tuesday in fucking any household these days.
Well, and maybe in Elon Musk's household. So, the ultimate goal is to put this in humans, and Elon Musk has said that this could happen maybe even later this year during trials.
This is like a limb thing, isn't it? Like, as far as I know.
He said that the first uses would be to help people with spinal issues and other problems like that. For instance, if you had an accident and there's a problem in your spine, and I'm going to say this in layman's terms because I am a layman. So let's say that you have a part of your spine is severed, right? And you lost feeling and motion in your mobility in your legs. He was saying in this interview I saw him talking in that you could put a shunt in, meaning that you would have a chip and it would go in your brain and it would feed information from your neurons to, and they'd put a shunt behind where your injury was. So it would bridge the gap basically to your legs and then maybe hopefully make them be able to move again from your mind because you'd be transmitting a signal past that injured part of your spine. I mean,
so
again,
instead of the spinal, like, neural network,
right,
you'd be
bypassing
a fucking
it.
Wireless like Bluetooth thing or whatever,
kind of, yeah,
but it would do the same thing. I mean, that's what it does anyway,
right? And that's what I got from it, at least. And you know, if I'm wrong, then you know, email us and tell me, because this is interesting stuff. And you know,
I mean that makes sense though, because like more. Bluetooth is essentially, it's not instantaneous, obviously, like nothing is, unless it's, you know, spooky action at a distance or whatever, but like, which we'll probably get to anyway, because that's been proven in fucking theories and experiments. But that kind of makes sense, dude. It's wired versus wireless. Like, you just turn your body wireless. That part of it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a bunch of neurons and electricity firing, and if you can decode what they are and have your brain try to move your arm, even, or let's say your brain in this case try to move your leg, but your leg won't move because the neurons can't get there because of some damage.
Yeah, it's severed.
Yeah, so you can create a shunt or create another transmitter or receiver down there that can relay that information to your nerves and hopefully
shipping lane.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is some futuristic stuff and I'm not a scientist.
I mean, not really though. That's what I'm saying. Like, everything's already there. It's really just what did you say it as decoding the information, right? So like, like, how do you map that? Like, that's the hard part. The transmission isn't the hard part.
Basically, he said it's kind of like a Fitbit for your skull. That's what he says. Yeah. Meaning it's basically a cell phone technology, but it's tiny and it, you know, it's the size of a, I don't even know, like a pea or something like that, or maybe a penny. I have no idea. But the point is this, basically he said that it would be used for that kind of thing in the beginning, meaning to help people that have injuries or have paralysis and things like that. Now, along the road, you know, someone asked him, well, would it be able to play back memories eventually? And he said, sure, of course. Elon Musk, and he's, you know, and he said, this sounds like an episode of Black Mirror, but eventually, yes, we hope to be able to replay memories from the past. Also, when asked about how much this thing's going to cost, he said, of course, it'll be quite expensive in the beginning, but when it's mainstream and this gets down in price, he's hoping to get the entire thing down to around $3,000. The whole surgery being done by a robot because to avoid brain
the
hemorrhaging.
Conspiracy theorists are going to fucking love this shit.
Because if you fuck up, like, you can just have internal hemorrhaging in your brain. Like, you have to avoid all the arteries in your brain. So a robot has to do it. And the whole thing's going to be done for $3,000, he says. You know, I mean, this is, you know, take it for a grain of salt.
That's not even important right now.
No, but he's saying that it would be, you'd be in and out of the hospital in an hour. You could have this thing in, and basically it would cost as much as LASIK. You know, that's what he said is basically like LASIK surgery, you know.
Dude, I spend $3,000 on like coffee every year or whatever, you know, like, yeah, but you put a thing that controls my fucking mind in it that I'm down $3,000.
Well, I mean, this could be groundbreaking for, you know, and like anything. I said, I've seen other videos. I don't know if it was another device, but I saw one where a monkey was paralyzed from the waist down and had made him walk again via some similar technology. So, I mean, this thing isn't so far off. I mean, there's ways to stimulate nerves from the messages that your brain is sending, and we're almost there, you know. But what we're going to talk about in this episode, I mean, even though we started with something that I think is really interesting, is how this can relate to everyday tasks when technologies like this do become standard. Or
let's simplify that.
And also how it evolves, how it relates to music.
So Neuralink is like the link from my brain to whatever else I put the other part on, the receiver.
So even so right now,
I could put it on my coffee machine and wake up thinking I want coffee. It'll turn my coffee machine on
easily
and fucking go.
That's like probably it, right? Doable right now, to be honest, because he has monkeys playing video games. And I don't know if
monkeys play video games every day. You can go watch it on Twitch.
Exactly. So,
just kidding. I love you, gamers.
All right. So, if a monkey is thinking left, thinking right, thinking jump, thinking whatever, and it's happening in a game, I don't know the details of what this game is.
They're totally just throwing shit all over the wall. That's all they're doing.
There was just
shit all over the wall.
Elon Musk is like, the game is, they're playing a game. It's called throwing shit everywhere. So if a monkey is able to play video games, it's thinking some thoughts like a left or right or something like that. And it's moving a player in a game. I'm assuming the game is relatively simple because this is infancy. This stages of this are pretty infant. But, you know, Elon Musk, he says now that he wants to have monkeys playing mind pong with each other. He's hoping to get them to that level. That's his goal. And, you know, he is the guy that made this isn't a flamethrower or whatever it was.
See, so. Okay, so that's one thing that pops up, because now you're talking about two living beings,
right,
that are like communicating to each other. Is that what you're saying? Like,
well, they'd be communicating.
What if you put a receiver
to
in
a computer,
their brain,
right,
and you're the one controlling it?
That is something that is going to have to be addressed. I mean,
is it going
to
be a two-way chip that they put in there? Fuck, now I'm freaked out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think at first it might not be, but of course, if you have two people with chips in the future, then they should be able to telepathically communicate with each other in a room without other people knowing what they're saying. That should be pretty easy.
I mean, I guess, yeah, yes. Yeah, I mean, it would essentially be like an IP address. So it's hackable, number one.
I would think that it would be hackable.
Yeah. I mean, that's the risk of any technology anyway. That's just,
yeah,
you live with
but,
that risk.
You know, if you guys want to watch, there's this show called The Feed, which is a BBC show, which I watched. And it's a sci-fi show about exactly this, although it was science fiction. This is only a few years old, the show, and it was really a sci-fi show. And it was a chip that was in everyone's head that connected them to the feed. So they received their information. They were able to do their calls, their video calls with everyone via this chip. Everything that they did was through this chip. And of course, it created terrible problems because it's a sci-fi show and shit went terribly
and
wrong.
And because we're humans.
Yeah. All right. So if we talk about music, because I think that what I thought was interesting about this whole concept, besides the fact that it's fascinating to think that we may somehow be machines ourselves, be android. I mean, more than we are now. Now, people often say that we are androids now because we're so tethered to our devices. But once it becomes implanted in us, it's going to be a whole different thing. There's a group of people that were modifying their bodies in order to be more technological. Some people were installing magnets, for instance, in their wrists.
San Franciscans?
No, have you heard about them? You know, you install like a Bluetooth something in your hand, or, you know, it was like a body modification thing.
I always wanted the voice thing that Google never did. It was like to make voice to text in that whole world of controlling your phone through your voice,
right?
Because like voice activated anything just sucks because it just mishears stuff and it's like impossible to hear it clear. But they had like some throat thing that you would do that sent that signal right to your phone. It was like instant transcription.
This technology,
I wanted that.
It sounds
shit, never
amazing
happened.
It sounds insane. I mean, it could sound horrifying too. All this amazing and horrifying there's a fine line, but when it comes down to it, how accurate is this going to be? And is it going to have to be completely command-based? Like, I don't know what's going on with this game in the monkeys, and they don't know the words left and right. So I'm assuming that it's something that's happening with their neurons or how they're something different. I don't even know how. But at first I was thinking that it would have to be, you know, like now when you say, Alexa, do this, or, you know, Siri, like you have to say a command to get it to start listening and then use certain words that it understands. For instance, what Siri understands.
That's using a language.
Yeah, you have to use a language. Yeah. Like you'd have to say in a game, be like left, jump, straight, jump, you know, like instead of just thinking what you want it to do.
Well, that's the thing. Like we're not thinking that when we do that.
Right.
Like we don't think in a language.
So that's kind of where I got to when I was thinking about music. I'm like, let's say you're thinking you need to play A, D, E, like 1, 4, and 5. Okay. Now, if I had to play that and there was a brain interface and I have, and it's controlling MIDI, which is just ones and zeros, right? Binary MIDI. Now, am I thinking like A, 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 D, 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 E, 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 A. Now, don't fault me if that's not A, because, you know, I'm not, you know, doing it to the note. But I did do 1, 4, 5, so you can't mess with me on that. Anyway.
So right away, pitch. Like you think of pitch, you don't think of the note.
Right. My point is this. It's like some people can sing everything they can play, right? So if I'm sitting down at a bass, like which is my primary instrument, I can sing everything when I'm in my space playing before I play it, right? So I know what it's going to sound like. Not everyone does that. And some people are terrible singers. I'm not a good singer, but I can sing what I play. But other people are amazing musicians, but they can't necessarily sing what they're playing.
Pitch,
but they're putting their hands down.
When you sing it though?
So, but that's like, what I'm saying. Is it like what you're singing in your head? Or is it, because sometimes players, they know they can put their hand down in a shape and it will do certain things. And oftentimes, even when musicians have very good ears, they go for stuff. They just kind of go for stuff that they're not quite hearing yet.
I don't think this shit's possible for musicians, if that's what you're getting at.
But that's what I'm saying.
There's no way.
Like interfacing, interfacing like that. What I'm saying is that I don't think musicians need to be scared that this is going to replace any kind of normal way of performing on your instrument.
There's just too many parts of like the thought process that musicians have to do anything. Like there's shapes, there's motion, there's fucking, I don't know. Like that's crazy. How do you decode all that shit?
I don't know, because
instantaneously play it.
To be honest, like I'm not really thinking. I mean, I'm not really thinking when I'm playing, at least from what I know. You know, I mean, I just kind of reacting. So I know that your neurons, if it's that fast, if something could read it that fast, I guess anything's possible. But to be honest, what I think it might sound like if you just hooked up a machine to a musician, it would just be like, you know, it would just be a complete mess, because what it is like, if I'm talking to Jake and if I had a computer chip in my mind talking to Jake, just taking everything out, that it would be saying what I'm saying now, but it'll also say like, oh, it's sunny outside. Oh, I think my cat just scratched on the door. Oh shit.
Like,
I have to pay that.
Like a filtration process.
Is, you know? Like there's way too much. No one thinks that clearly.
No.
Even, you know, it's like, that's why I talk about meditation all the time. You see all the background noise. Imagine if something was just picking that up. It's not going to be like in the movies.
I think the only people that think that clearly are like cult leaders. No, because there's just nothing else in the world other than like their weird demonic shit that they're trying to fucking do. It's just clear as day. Like that's what they're saying in their head, everything that they're actually doing, you know. But yeah, like there's so much noise.
It's the same thing with anything though. Like if you sit down and paint a beautiful portrait or you know, a landscape or something like that, you know, you have a lot of times you just go in with your gut, you just feeling it. Like there's not, you're not like, I have to paint this tree first, and then, you know, you're just like, oh, this needs a little more color here. This, your brain kind of moves in strange ways, and mine definitely does, you know, and I'm sure yours does as well. But
there's also like the physical attribute of like music. Like it's weird because your brain makes the muscle memory happen, but at the same time, like the feel and like that end of the instrument, what you're touching, I feel like happens first and feeds the brain, which then feeds it back to the hand to activate the muscle memory. But like essentially what's making the call for change is at first where the instrument meets the touch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's almost like reverse.
Plus the way it sounds.
Maybe it's already filtered by the time it hits your neuron, because like, I don't know, man, that's fucking crazy. There's probably
That's what I'm saying. That's why I wanted to talk about this, because it's so out there, you know, and there's a lot to it. For instance, if you're using this brain interface and it's feeding a MIDI device, how about range, for instance? Let's say you're saying, again, A, D, E, or even 1, 4, 5, if you're saying a command. Like, how do you go up? How do you say A1, A2, like C prime? Like,
you can't,
it's too much, right? And what I'm saying is that no musician's mind, some of them are, like, I do believe that some musicians have very clear minds and they know exactly what they want to play. And again, like, if I sit down on my bass, I play what I want and I can hear it. But when I'm actually on stage playing or in the studio, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just playing instantly. So it's not like I'm being like, I need to sing in my head what I'm playing before I'm playing. And I think that would fuck me up, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah,
it can't be, I mean, none of this stuff is like voice command based. It's definitely like on a neural level, but like,
yeah, but how, right? It's a lot of information to decode when you're talking about
music. Is
art,
definitely like a different thing. Like even with our when we do, like our translations for the site, we can't do automated transcriptions because music is just, it's a mess. Like music is a different type of language, and it's so different in every other like spoken language that you have to have a musician transcribe this stuff, yeah, or it's not going to make sense, you know?
Like, to be honest, like, if you just, for instance, something as simple as saying C sharp, you know what I mean? If you just say that, they're going to be like, it's going to say C sharks, you know what I mean? Like every time, you know, and I don't even know that happened, but I'm sure it has. Like, every
or
time.
Or say like the word like S E E.
That's sharp. What I'm saying.
C sharp. Like, you're like, what? C sharp.
Or C sharks. It would always be the word. Yeah. But that's kind of my point, is that what we do is so nuanced. And also there's inflection, right? So like, if you're playing and you know the note is A, like, you might just decide you want to play it soft, or like really soft, or aggressive, or bend the note, or give it some vibrato. Like, if you had to think any of that, it wouldn't work, right? Now, again, how is this decodable? I mean, I don't know that it is. I mean, especially, let's say we're talking about dictation. You have a Word document open, you have this neural implant, and you're trying to write my notes. Like, that to me sounds very interesting. If I'm writing something, again, this has to do with all the dictation programs that exist. If I, you know, you have to say like record, or like ready to record, or like I want to go to the store, period. Like, you know, you have to think those things where it's different. You can do that when you're writing, because it's very concrete. You can think it. You can be like, I want to go to the store, period. And then, comma, I'd like to check out the library, period. Like, I can write like that in my mind if I think that way, because it's so formula, you know, it makes sense.
You're reading it while you're fucking thinking it. So you're double doing it. That's why, like, you know, something like mantra based meditation works, because you're literally hypnotizing yourself, because you're actually thinking and seeing a word that actually has no meaning to you. It shouldn't. If it has meaning, it kind of defeats the purpose. But like, instead of just thinking, like, you're now like reading and thinking and reading and thinking one thing, and then it becomes a drone, and then all of a sudden you're fucking hypnotized. But yeah, that's not how you normally think.
Yeah, but again, if you use it as a tool and you know the language, you can do it. Again, like we said before, if I have this Neuralink and I want to, and Jake has one, and I say, Jake, let's do this podcast in 30 minutes, period. It will get to him just like a text message, just like me
reading
it.
But you'd have to collect your thoughts like that while you do it.
Which is just like reading it to your voice command. So I could see the reason behind that and how it could be effective and a good tool. Though, it's, you know, it would have to get much past that in order for it to be really revolutionary. Not for people that have spinal injuries.
It makes sense with the medical thing.
That's a whole different game.
Because like, that's already... like, because you can just map that. You could say, oh, when he moves his arm up, down, a little bit to the left, a little bit to, like, you see where that happens in the brain.
You see what neurons and then fire. That's
what you're fucking doing, you know? But with music, forget it. Like, is there a difference if you tracked and mapped neural activity from someone bending a B to a C on a guitar at this volume, at this level? Like, you would have to map out every single fucking possible thing ever that can ever happen on an instrument.
Well, also, a lot of times you think before you play. So for instance, like, I play the rhythm of what I'm thinking, but I'm thinking about what chords are going to happen right before I play them. So like, those are two separate things. Like, I'd be like, oh shit, I have to catch this bridge, and then like, I think, all
that's
right.
Such a bass player thought process right there. Yeah. Oh shit, I got to catch this bridge. That's the most bass player fucking
and
thing.
And then I catch it at A minor, and I'm like, oh, I have to start at A minor. And then I start reacting to what's happening there. Funny. But like, the rhythm is just in my hands. Like, I just know that I have to, you know, whatever. You stay with the drummer.
The guitar player's experience is so different from the bass player. The guitar player's is, why is the bass player looking at me weird? Like, he thinks I'm going to fuck something up right now. Because the bass player's going, oh shit, I got to catch this bridge. Oh fuck, I gotta warn the guitar player, because of course he's not gonna catch it unless I catch it. Let me look at him.
You know that the bridge comes after three verses. It's really weird. That's when it comes. Yeah,
this isn't your solo, by the way. You fucking, we're going to a bridge, okay? I'm looking at you because we're going to a bridge, not because I want you to solo.
Yeah. And just like we said before, I mean, it can't be pitch based, because some people don't have perfect pitch. So if you're just singing something and you're a half step or a third or whatever off.
I wonder that sometimes though. Is it, because I don't know if it's the brain or the vocal aspect of it. Because I remember, like, if you watch people, like if they have headphones on and they're like singing, out loud to what's going on in the fucking song, they're probably singing it correctly in their head, but what's coming out of their voice, like they'll be listening to like fucking, you know, some badass shit, and you just hear and it's like not even remotely close to
or
the
even
thing,
like
but it's
Keith,
like, I
Keith
wonder
Jarrett.
What they're thinking.
Like Keith Jarrett when he plays, he's like he's playing all this amazing stuff, but like he's just going, you know what I mean?
I think that's, but he's, I don't think he's singing that in his head. Like I'm talking about like not Keith Jarrett, like people that just listen to music, like that aren't musicians. Like I just wonder what they're thinking. Like I wonder if they're actually thinking it correctly. So that's the thing. Like we could all have perfect pitch in our minds.
Our minds are foggy. It's hard to get a real grip on what we're thinking sometimes because it just happens so effortlessly and we don't have to think about it. Kind of like breathing. Yeah. We just think things, you know, they happen.
Kind of like conspiracy theories. We just think of them and then we dedicate our fucking political lives to them for some stupid reason now.
Oh, Jake. You have to let out your Facebook anger here. Well, you should watch the feed if you want to text Elon Musk or if you want to, you know, hit him on Twitter.
I met the man. He was cool when I met him.
All right.
But he was still dressed like an archaeologist. Like he was still married with his two kids. We were at a robotics convention. It was fucking awesome. It was a while ago. But he was there like hanging on the NASA track.
All right.
Yeah.
He's definitely a smart guy and he's got a lot of interesting ideas. And, you know, I hope that they all work, to be honest. I think it would be, you know, my sci-fi self wants to see people go to Mars. And I want to see some technological advancements in the form of cyborg nation, you know. But,
fuck yeah.
You know, I don't know that I would sign up to get that right away. I'm doing okay. But I think that if anything could be done to help people that are in need, and that surely sounds like a great idea. I mean, you know, people that have their minds aren't able to tell their bodies what to do. I mean, fuck yeah. This sounds great.
Yeah, that's so scary.
So, but you know,
I can't imagine how amazing that would be.
Yeah.
When that works, like straight up for someone.
I think it
who
will.
Doesn't have control. You know what I mean? And then even like probably like Tourette's and stuff like that. Like maybe. All these, you know, all these awful fucking diseases that can, shit, man. That's
yeah.
That's
I mean,
cool.
They were saying that they're working out now how the chip is going to, I guess, give off different voltages to different parts of the brain because different parts of the brain.
It's like a slow release medication.
They need different voltages.
It needs volumes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they have to see if it creates any lasting problems. You know, I mean, if they said they put it in a pig and they, in the.
I mean, dude, like to someone who can't control their arm, like that's well worth it. Like, okay, so when I'm 90, like I might get headaches, you know, whatever.
Well, I think the people signing up are the exactly the people that have really want hope. And, you know, it's very experimental. But anyway, the thing I saw online, you can see it on YouTube, he put it in pigs and he was giving this press release or whatever it was. And he said that they had one in a pig and then they showed a pig that they took it out of them. They put it in and then they removed it, showing that they could do that without side effects. Of course, the pig looked happy and healthy, as he said, but who knows? He can't really talk and he's not saying like I have these terrible, you know, like I have crazy dreams now or like, you know, something strange, you know, I have this itching in my ear. You never know until they start doing it on humans. But, you know, I'm hopeful
they could start on human pigs. Like Marilyn Manson, Donald Trump. that could be the next stage.
There's a new guy. Army.
Just go from pigs to human.
Did you hear
pigs.
That guy? Army, what's his name? Army something. The guy that was in here. Army Hammer, I think his name was.
Oh, yeah.
He says that he was into cannibalism or something. Cannibalism.
Oh, that's right. Shit.
Like ex-girlfriends are saying that he was into BDSM and cannibalism. So he's kind of lost his career.
Good old cannibalism.
Yeah. That's
maybe he meant cannabis.
No.
He'd had a bad Zoom feed. Well, like, what did you say? Cannibalism?
Yeah. It's possible.
Did you cut out there?
Although his agent just dropped him. So I think she believed the latter.
Yeah, dude.
Anyway, I like to end things in the proper place. So on cannibalism, I'd like to say thanks for listening. And Brain Chips Music. Have a good one. Until next time.
See ya.
questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.